about being a child and being with my grandmother. She was this warm, comforting light in my life, and when I was with her, it felt like a warm hug wrapped around my body. She taught me how to cook Italian food, and I'd sit with her on Sunday for hours while she made the tastiest Italian dishes you could imagine. Things like that are my happy places. So when I need them, I go to them. I urge you to find your happy place and make it a habit that when you are having a rough day, you remind yourself to imagine this place. Once you get out of your funk, you can start thinking clearly again. Live long and prosper. This signature phrase from Star Trek is worth applying to your life. If you don't have a healthy body, it's hard to live a healthy life and healthy thoughts. An Indian proverb says, "A healthy person has 1,000 wishes, but a sick person has only one." How true is that statement? This isn't a health book, and I don't claim to be an expert, but knowledge of healthy lifestyles is easier to find now than any other time in history. Search it out and create habits that get you in optimal health. Why make all the money and attain all the fulfillment and abundance you desire if you can't be the parent, grandparent, leader, or spouse you know who lives inside of you? To live long and prosper, you've got to exercise. It may be hard to start this habit, but once you make it a part of your life and you feel and see the benefits, you'll be hooked. You can find amazing workouts to fit your body and your fitness level online. Heck, you can hire a coach to keep you accountable and have him or her help you with a routine. But whatever you have to do, make it happen. I find that a few things keep me exercising. First, I want to be an example to my children. I want them to see me making exercise a part of my life and not treat it like a chore. I know this to be true. Kids do what you do, not what you say. Also, I want to be an active dad and someday an active grandparent. I'm sure you want the same. Here are a few other ways to make exercise a habit. First, create a fitness challenge with a friend, whether it's weight loss, pant size, a 5K, or a before and after picture contest. A challenge makes it more likely you'll get engaged with the program and stay there. Next, I recommend mixing it up. Don't do the same thing every day. Go for a walk, run, ski, swim, bike, do some weights, row a boat, play tennis, or do short sprints. Just get in a habit of doing something different daily. When you exercise, you do everything else better. You make wiser food choices, you refrain from adult beverages more often, and you even start to sleep better. On top of that, you start looking better. It's truly addicting. So why not start this habit today? Take time to understand. When someone does something to make you feel slighted or underappreciated or snubbed or even disrespected, you become upset. That's understandable. But many times we don't understand how they really feel and we are simply assuming their negative intent. And like I stated previously, this can cause us to waste energy, thoughts, time, and focus. It happens sometimes without even knowing it, and we have to stay away from this energy and time grabber. We are so much better off not wasting our time on the perceived sense that someone is doing us wrong. I had this happen with my daughter's friend's father. Every time I saw the guy, I felt he was snubbing me. I remember thinking, well, he must have a problem with me. He never smiled, barely said hi when I tried greeting him a few times. I convinced myself that he was snobbish or opinionated and foolishly never talked to him about the subject. Finally, one day, I just decided to sit down and chat with him. He and I talked, and I discovered that I was completely wrong about the guy. He was just shy and a little insecure. He turned out to be the furthest thing from pretentious, a humble guy and a great dad. He just lacked the confidence to communicate well with people he barely knew. Forcing myself to understand a situation before I react has been transformational to my life. Make it a habit to pause in any circumstance that offends you, no matter how bad the offense may seem. So much energy and stress can be avoided if we try to understand why people are doing what they do, or if necessary, we can avoid this wasted energy by deciding it's not going to affect our mood, no matter what. If you find out your spouse lied to you, your children lied to you, somebody at work is trying to undermine you, somebody at the gym is making fun of you, or someone went behind your back, stop and take a breath. After any upsetting event that happens in your life, taking a breath and refusing to react in the moment can lower your stress. Make the effort to understand where that person is coming from. Look through their eyes and then respond. Letting yourself go down a rabbit hole of assumptions is one of the largest energy drainers there is. So make it a habit. Decide not to do it. Don't judge. Easier said than done, I know. But when people ask me about times in my life when the biggest shifts or changes happened, I always reflect back on the moment when I completely let go of making judgments. Can anyone be perfect? No, of course not. But can you get pretty darn close? Heck yeah. And the results are life-changing. When we judge, we are literally expending energy, thoughts, and time on something that's none of our business, or that we often lack sufficient knowledge of to make a judgment. As a child, I grew up around people who were very judgmental, and I think some of that attitude seeped into my young adult attitudes, even though I would have considered myself a non-judging person. Then one day it hit me. I was making judgments about people, and I had no idea what kind of circumstances were causing them to act as they did. Sometimes you may see overweight people, and, as your default reaction, you assume they're lazy or just have no control when it comes to their eating. When you see alcoholics, you think they have no self-discipline and that they should just stop drinking. When you see individuals who are grumpy or disrespectful, you think they are bad people. These default mechanisms live inside all of us. But when you get rid of your judgments, a whole part of your soul opens up for new exploration and growth. As you can see, I love sharing by example, and I want to make this point in my children's lives at a young age, so they can be judgment-free their entire lives. For the last 5 Christmases, after the kids open their presents and we have our morning routine, we jump in the car and drive to downtown Phoenix, armed with bag lunches that also contain $100 bills. We drive street by street, alley by alley, to find the homeless people on Christmas morning and hand each one of them a lunch bag. We then say Merry Christmas, and as we pull away, in so many cases, they are crying or shocked or saying thank God and thank you. And it's about more than the food and the money. It's about having the chance to feel that someone cares. And my children are old enough to realize that people will say, why are you giving money to the homeless? They should work. They're lazy. They have options. They will use it for drugs or alcohol. And maybe that's the case in some instances, but who are we to judge? Rather than pulling away from someone who's barely dressed, completely dirty, or smells horrible, the lessons I'm able to share with my children are the ones I want to become permanent in their souls. I get to teach my children that we don't know if the homeless people's families threw them out, or if they were molested, or if they were beaten, if they have a severe learning disability that no one noticed. I share with my children that there are a million reasons the homeless could be where they are. Some of them may be on drugs and may use alcohol, and maybe that's the only thing that quiets the noises in their head. I always tell my kids that we have no idea why they are there, but we can wish them well, let them know someone cares, pray for them, and find gratitude for the blessings we've had in our own lives. Yes, this is a lesson for my children from a dad who had a tougher childhood than they are experiencing. And yes, I may be doing this to help create adults who have empathy, caring spirits, no judgment, and have gratitude. But at the same time, I continue to do things like this to cement those values into my own life and heart. So stop judging and watch your heart, your life, your mind, your world, and your income continue to open up. Help those who are worse off than you. This may seem like the same advice that I offered in the previous habit, but bear with me and you'll see the difference here. I had a friend of mine introduce me to Joel Osteen a few years ago, and when we met, he invited me to fly to Houston and attend a service. I remember being in awe of the size of the church and how beautiful it was and how many smiling, happy people were attending. I got to sit next to Joel's wife and mother and truly enjoyed it all. I must confess, it was the first time I had been in a church in quite some time. As I watched Joel share stories, he told one that really aligned with my heart, and it was something I knew to be true. This was a while ago, so I'll share as closely as I can remember. He said something along the lines of the following. When you think things are really bad in your life, when you think you don't have enough money, love, health, or maybe joy, go help somebody who's much worse off than you are. When you think your relationship is bad, go to a place where battered women need help and go donate your time or donate money. When you are feeling you deserve that raise or feel slighted, go visit a homeless shelter. Our problems are our own, and they are relevant, and we still feel the pain. but it is impossible to feel sad or depressed and grateful at the same time. Make it a habit to help those worse off than yourself, and even more so when you are feeling down. When you help others who are worse off, your gratitude will rise and push your stress away. It's a win for everyone. Helping others isn't a totally selfless act. As important as it is to lend a hand to those in need for its own sake, realize that you're going to benefit too. Do your best always. I know so many people who hate what they do for a living. They are dreaming, hoping, and trying as hard as they can to find a career or business they know they will love. But until you find that thing you love to do, use this quick success hack. Do the absolute best you can, even if you hate it, until your next level kicks in. Yes, it doesn't matter what it is, always give it 110%. Remember my earlier story of billionaire John Paul DeJoria, who swept floors in places his boss couldn't even see, and it set a success habit he followed for the rest of his life. Even though you may not like a particular task or job, do it amazingly well, and the benefits and habits learned will be priceless. When I was in high school and during the few years following, I used to fix wrecked cars in a collision shop with my dad. It was dirty and smelly work that, on many days, gave me headaches from the chemicals. My nails were dirty, my clothes looked like crap, and the truth is that I hated it. But you would have never known how I felt by how I carried myself. If anybody walked into that collision shop, I know they thought to themselves, "Damn, this guy loves his job." What they saw was that I did the job to the best of my ability every day and with a smile to boot. My first big real estate deal was made possible by someone who often visited the collision shop. We would chat, laugh, and I think he really liked my enthusiasm. One day I told him my story about some real estate deals I was working on and how I was juggling money but still making it happen. He ended up lending me over $80,000 because he saw my enthusiasm. Would I have received that investment if he had walked in and I had a crappy negative attitude? The guy wouldn't have given me the time of day. Yes, I hated fixing cars, but my habit was to do the absolute best that I could until I reached the next level of my life. This one instance was a shift in that direction. The real estate deal resulted in over $1 million in sales. True story. I love to share examples in my own life that reveal the power of the right success habits or hacks, as they've become part of my life and routine. But I'm not the only one creating these hacks and habits. They are also the habits of the highest achieving, most successful people on the planet. I met Josh Bozzoni a little over 9 years ago in Hawaii at a weekend mastermind. At that time, he was running a decent-sized company and doing fairly well in the nutrition space. We hit it off and had great conversations. We stayed friends and communicated through the years. Then Josh hit hard times with his company, and it went out of business. I flew to meet him in Colorado about 6 years ago when this was happening, and I remember walking through his old office. It was like a ghost town, empty desks everywhere, and it was truly sad to see. I could feel that my friend was doing his best to put on a good face, but he was heartbroken. A year or so later, Josh invited me to a small event he did in Austin, Texas. It was really his coming out party in a sense. He had spent sufficient time trying to learn what went wrong, getting over the negative stories and self-doubt in his head, and he was ready to jump back into the entrepreneurial world, even though he literally had no money to start over. Fast forward from this moment of reinvention to today, and Josh is the founder and CEO of BioTrust Nutrition, one of the world's leading premium nutrition brands. His company does hundreds of millions of dollars in sales, employs many great people, and provides outstanding products, some of which I use daily. What happened? How did Josh go from failure and the overwhelming stress of closing a business with no seed money to start a dominating world brand? His answer was, "I discovered through my success and failures, through trial and error, that I had to change and create new habits." Over the years, he's been incredibly successful in many roles: entrepreneur, nutritionist, and philanthropist. So while I was writing this section of the book, I called Josh and asked if he would share his new habits or success hacks with us. Josh was so excited to share the routines that changed everything for him that he made a recording and immediately sent it to me. He shared a lot, and there's not enough space here to include all of them, but let me give you a taste of some of them. Hire people who have already done what you want to do. Josh referred to this as his number one success habit, and he talked about how this is exactly what he did when he started BioTrust Nutrition. Most people think they can train people to do a job, but there's no substitute for experience, especially when they have it and you don't. Josh shared, "Don't hire great soldiers that you can train to be great in their positions. Hire generals who know their roles better than you do and let them hire the soldiers underneath them. Delegate anything that's not your unique ability." Listen to Josh explain why this is such an important hack. "For 10 years, I was stuck in a company that I owned, and it was almost like a prison. I was doing all the work. I had a very small team, and I was making good profits, but my life was completely miserable. I was working 80 hours a week. I could have easily taken some of the profits and delegated and hired more people, but I felt like I had to do it all, or it wouldn't get done right. When that original company closed and I had time to examine what went wrong and what could go right in the future, I knew this had to change. When I started BioTrust, I came out of the gate delegating everything that wasn't my unique ability, and I watched the magic unfold in front of my eyes. I was also more successful because I was a happier person and I wasn't doing the things I didn't like, accounting and HTML programming and all these things that I had tried to do in the past. When I focused on my unique abilities, which are hiring the right people, creating the big vision for the company, and putting the right teams together, I made the biggest impact possible and watched all areas of my business and personal life go to the next level." Feed your daily motivation just like you feed your body. What Josh means by this is you have to do something every day to remind yourself why you're doing what you're doing. Here's how Josh describes his application of this habit. "Sometimes I make my own inspirational audio. Sometimes I read. Sometimes I listen to Tony Robbins and other inspirational thought leaders. Every day I feed positive energy and positive information into my brain and remind myself what my goals are. Life can get hard sometimes. None of us are immune to that, no matter what level of success you are currently achieving. So we can decide to focus on what's not going right, or we can get daily motivation from any source possible and get our thoughts focused on a better version of ourselves. If you are going to think, it may as well be about why you want more and the positive thoughts about how you will get there." From afar, I was a witness to how Josh's changing habits allowed him to not only rebound, but to create a business and a life that is truly abundant and inspirational. Josh made mistakes, felt he let others down, believed that he wasn't good enough. Is that unlike any feelings you and I have had or are having right now? No, of course not, because we are all so similar. Yet some people choose to stay in that place of despair, to keep the same routines and repeat the same patterns day after day, year after year. Unfortunately, life doesn't one day become amazing by accident. You have to decide it is going to be amazing. Josh is a shining example of someone who knew what he wanted, learned from his mistakes instead of wallowing in them, shifted his habits, and achieved greatness. Focus with passion on one thing and only one thing. This is a hack I believe with all my heart, and I think you will too when you hear Josh describe it. "I'm kind of ADD, so I'd start 100 businesses if I could. So I have rules in place where I can only have one thing, and I can tell if it is running by itself and is a success. I don't move on to something else, so it's forced focus, my term for this approach, because entrepreneurs will go all over the place and have 100 projects, and none of them really take off. So it's a hard discipline, but you have to have forced focus." Use Josh's success hacks, the ones I've listed, or modify and create some of your own. These small but impactful habits or hacks can be incorporated into your life starting right now. And like I said earlier, it's not about adding more time or more habits into your day. It's about replacing current habits that simply are not empowering your future. If we work on our habits one day at a time, then life will never be the same again. Chapter 11, The Challenge. You have been exposed to the success habits of the world's richest as well as most fulfilled human beings on the planet. Now it's time for you to reach new heights. You can have everything you've dreamed about: wealth, a great job, a terrific business, and incredible relationships. It doesn't have to be a wonderful thought anymore. It can be your reality, and all of it is within reach. So what's holding you back? Well, if you're like a lot of people, you listen to these words, got inspired, started dreaming about what's possible, and glimpsed where you might go. Maybe you even had a clear and powerful vision. Your thoughts might have included all the positive things that could happen if you don't let the villain within sabotage you. If you change your story from limiting to limitless, you can envision how this type of change would affect your life. You get the success habits, the happiness habits, the success hacks. It all makes sense, and you're inspired by the stories I've told you. Stories of people just like you who have transformed their lives. Some of my stories might even have made you think, if this guy can do it, I surely can. So why the heck would you or anyone ever struggle to get started? Because the idea of making changes in your life can be overwhelming and scary. Your subconscious found a place to be safe and doesn't want to stray. But safe doesn't mean happy, fulfilled, or financially prosperous. And that's just what's going on below the surface. On a conscious level, you've got a lot going on. You've got bills to pay, jobs to do, chores to tackle. As much as you want to start making these success habits part of your life, you've got to take action. You've got to do stuff. I get it. I've been stuck in that place between thought and action. The good news is, I know how to get unstuck, and I'm going to share that with you right now, so this book isn't just a good inspirational read, but your roadmap to action. First steps. Have you ever tried talking yourself into changing through sheer willpower or pep talks? That approach can usually work for a little while, but it's not enough. You need to focus on one small step at a time, and also on what's doable, and feel the change you're imagining. This is where your motivation will come from. This is how you'll kickstart yourself into action. So here's how to start a small, doable sprint. I bet you can imagine doing anything for 90 days. It's a tiny slice of your life. Think of it as a testing period where you'll see results that will become addicting. So let's break it down to 90 days, what I like to call a sprint. As essential as it is to visualize what your life will be like in 12 months and even 12 years from now, you need a sprint to reinforce change today. I want to chunk your to-do list down to a biteable size. Go ahead and imagine it's 90 days from today and you've made some astonishing shifts in your life. Follow the process I shared in Chapter 1. Pretend it's 90 days into the future and it was just the best 90 days of your entire life. What does that look like? Who did you say yes to? Who did you say no to? Did you ask for the raise? Did you quit your job? Did you register your new company's name, hire your first employee, start the marketing ramp up for your current company, or hire a CFO? What does the greatest 90 days of your life look like? You can focus on your income or career, and you can also project these 90 days into any area of your life. To help give you even more clarity on how to do this sprint, answer the following questions in writing from the perspective of 90 days into the future, looking backwards. What specifically happened during the past 90 days? What has changed in your job, your business, your relationships, your community? What success habits have you introduced into your life? What habits did you replace that weren't serving you well? How did you get those new success habits into your life? What actions did you take to make things happen? What did you say or do that created this change? With all of your positive shifts and accomplishments, how do you feel emotionally? Where is your confidence level, your happiness level, and whom do you see when you look in the mirror? Who are you spending more time with, and who less? What is your state of mind like? What are you grateful for? Imagine it as if you were in the future looking back. Then use your pen or the keys on your computer to write down the specific actions you need to take to make this imagined scenario your reality. Remember, these are action steps for only the next 90 days. They're not designed to achieve your ultimate goals. They're just to get you moving in the right direction. So think about what you need to do to get that great job, or a promotion, or start a new business. What will get you moving in the right direction? Answer that, and you've given yourself a map and transportation to get you to the place you want to be. Here's the linchpin to make this 90-day sprint become your reality. Stop doing so much busy work, tasks that are meaningless to your goals, and make sure that more than 50% of your daily activities focus on the action steps to meet your 90-day goals. Yes, it can be that simple. Get off the treadmill and start running up a ladder, as the following example illustrates. From the machine shop to the penthouse. Matt Larson was a machine shop worker in his early 20s, struggling with depression. He looked at his fellow workers and spotted a guy in his 70s who was only making about 10% more than Matt was earning. For Matt, that was his future. He was a smart guy who worked hard, but he wasn't making much money. He got one of my books, was inspired, and chose to get involved in real estate. Matt did this despite receiving criticism for his choice from friends, family, and his girlfriend, who called him a dreamer and ended up breaking up with him. Like many entrepreneurs, Matt had to go against the grain and follow his gut, despite how overwhelmed he felt when he did so. I met Matt, did some personal mentoring, and taught him exactly what I'm sharing with you in this 90-day sprint. I told Matt that he was looking for too much, too quickly, and that he was in danger of returning to his old routines because he was so overwhelmed. So let's look at 90 days, I suggested. Let's pretend it's 90 days from now, and it was the best 90 days of your life. Looking back, what do you observe? Matt responded that he'd be doing 5 wholesale real estate deals a month and making $70,000 monthly. He added that he saw himself as being more confident and not feeling insecure. More than that, he observed that he wouldn't have to worry about his bills because they were all paid on time and that he had helped his parents to retire. They were getting on in years and stressed about having to keep working. Finally, he said, "I'd like to prove to my friends that I'm smart enough to do this, and I'd like to look in the mirror and know that I am in control of my own destiny." Then he said, "Okay, dude, what do you have to do to make that happen?" Matt's action steps were different than he had thought. He realized that much of his time was consumed by busy work, and one of his first listed actions was to hire a great personal assistant to take everything off his plate that didn't have to do with making money. He also listed his need to get up an hour earlier to hit the gym in order to feel healthy and have the energy to get through the day. He decided to stop having cocktails when he was stressed, as well as avoiding the negative people in his life. In the extra time that he possessed because of his intention to hire a personal assistant, he would create a unique marketing plan to target real estate customers using direct mail, Facebook, and Craigslist. Matt focused his time on implementing these action steps in his 90-day sprint and ignored all the time drains that were essentially busy work. At the end of the 90 days, he reached every one of his goals. His parents retired. He did even more deals than had been in his ambitious projection, and he found an amazing personal assistant who's gone on to be someone who runs his company. Matt has gone on to do over 3,000 real estate transactions, and he's one of the greatest real estate investors I know. And he was an inch away from doing none of these things because he received negative responses to his plans and because he was overwhelmed with the difficulty of changing his life. No one in his family had ever made money, gone to college, or even owned a house. But Matt pushed past these obstacles, in large part because the 90-day sprint gave him a short, doable process to get him on the path he wanted. You have massive potential. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, "Dean doesn't know me. I'm not special like Matt. This may work for other people, but I'm not sure it will work for someone like me." Well, here's the truth. You've got incredible potential. I write this without ever having met you, but I know from experience that every person is capable of making small shifts in his or her life that can lead to big success. The question is, will you realize your potential? I absolutely believe you will, but first you have to get past one of the biggest delusions that most people have. Others are gifted and have advantages, making their road to success easier than your path. Yes, there are super tall people who have an advantage playing basketball. Yes, there are brilliant people who are natural mathematicians and can do complex calculations in minutes that most of us would puzzle over for hours. The words gifted and lucky get thrown around a lot. Yet when you do your research on those who excel, who go to the next level of life and reach their full potential, you see two very important things that most high achievers have in common. They believe in themselves and their vision, and they practice hard. They use grit to get the results they desire rather than standing on the sidelines wishing they were gifted. Tiger Woods is no longer the most dominant athlete in the world, but no one in the history of golf ever played at his level when he was in his prime. Was Tiger just another gifted athlete? Did he get lucky? Or maybe his success had a lot to do with the fact that he practiced his craft every day from the time he was 5 years old. When many NFL athletes vacationed in the summer until training camp, for many seasons Peyton Manning stayed home and watched tapes and practice. The same holds true for any person who created wealth and abundance. Did they succeed because they were special, gifted, or got lucky? Or was it because they were willing to roll up their sleeves and take the right actions, and do it over and over, even when they hit obstacles? Why am I sharing this? Because the success habits I've described don't work unless you work them. The difference between those who take advantage of them and those who just think about taking advantage of them is that the former exhibit grit. To me, grit is stick-to-itiveness. It's persistence. It's being willing to go the extra mile to get what you want. How badly do you want to get to that next level of life? Do you get depressed knowing there's more you can accomplish, yet haven't? The good news is you don't have to settle. Not another day. You don't have to go through life asking, what if? You don't have to fret and fume about your unrealized potential. You can have everything you want and deserve, but to achieve it, you can't give in to the naysayers. And it just won't happen by hoping it will. As the Nike saying goes, it's time to just do it. Counter the critics. Those who achieve the most are the ones who push through obstacles, even when no one else believes in them. They do what it takes to steadily put these success habits in place, and if something doesn't go exactly as they planned, they don't get discouraged or give up. If you look at businesses that have had massive breakthroughs, most of them at one point were on the brink of failure, if not bankruptcy, and most founders of these businesses were told their ideas would never work. You see, critics are judgmental types of people that successful people make a habit of ignoring. Critics are often pessimists who gave up on their dreams. Their bitterness causes them to tell others why they can't do, have, or be something. If you'd like a more abundant life, then you must believe in yourself and not rely on others for encouragement or support. Sounds harsh, but it's your path to freedom. Once you break through, you can expect a new group of supportive people to appear in your life. I'm not suggesting that you should hate the naysayers you know, but you must go against your peers if they insist you can't do something. They may be friends, family, work colleagues, and others who tell you you can't succeed for their own reasons, not based on who you are and what you're capable of achieving. You may have to stand up to some of your peers and say, "I appreciate your opinion, but don't tell me what I can't do." Maintain faith in yourself that you can do anything you set your mind to. Find the why of your life like we talked about in Chapter 1, and stare at that goal no matter who gets in your way and no matter who says it's foolish. You see, once you know where you want to go, you've got to do everything you can to get there, despite what others might tell you. In fact, you might have to do the opposite of what most people around you are doing, and it will probably feel odd. But if you continue to do what the people around you do, you will continue to get what they get. And if they're not living the life that you desire and deserve, then you have to do the opposite. You're going to have to differentiate yourself from your peers. And I'm not saying you should do it with an elitist mindset or by letting your ego be in charge. Instead, your true purpose needs to be in charge. Best practices. Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player to have ever played the game, and he said, "You can practice shooting 8 hours a day, but if your technique is wrong, then all you become is very good at shooting the wrong way. Get the fundamentals down, and the level of everything you do will rise." I've talked a lot about the value of persistence and grit, about practicing and using new skills until they are a part of you. And as I've emphasized, some of the mega successful people I know have achieved what they've achieved through sheer determination. They put the success habits to use over and over and over until they were part of their DNA. And yes, practice makes perfect. But as stated clearly by MJ, you have to be practicing the right types of things. My son is only 7 years old right now, and he's been playing baseball since he was 3. And I must say, the practice that he's put in has made him one heck of a little ball player. This previous season, he went 25 for 29 and barely missed a ball in the field. Watching this evolution and the praise he gets, my daughter Brianna decided that she wanted to play softball. so a year and a half ago she joined a team, not knowing anything about the game. She jumped in, practiced, and had a really solid first year. The second year, it moved to kids pitching rather than coaches pitching. If you've never watched girls softball, you might not realize how complex the pitching motion is. There's the windup, the push-off, and the releasing of the ball off the hip. It's something I still can't do great, but I am trying to learn for Bree. But 3 games into the season, my daughter realized, we don't really have one really good pitcher on our team, and the games become very boring because of it. At their age, if a girl can't throw a strike, the teams hit the 5-run rule, and it's off to the next inning. Sometimes it's like watching paint dry or grass grow. Whether it was to stop the games from being boring or to be more in the spotlight, my daughter said, Dad, I want to pitch. Keep in mind, she had never pitched before. I said, the only way this happens is if you can prove to me that you really want it and you practice, you show your grit. So we watched a bunch of YouTube videos. We got the right format, the right form. I set up a plate behind my house and my daughter went to work pitching every single day with me. Finally, she reached a point where I told the other coach, I think Bree could be ready for a couple of innings. And it just so happened to be during a game when our pitching was falling apart. So they put my daughter in and she struck out the first batter. She ended up doing amazingly well that game and they won. She went on to do well for the next few games. But what I noticed was that Bree had a couple of weird habits that I hadn't seen in any YouTube training videos, so I hired a coach. When he showed up, he came in and messed with her flow. He changed the way she held the ball, and he changed the way she was stepping. Now you may think to yourself, why would you mess with somebody who's doing well? And that's a great question. It's because the coach I hired explained to me that her method will get her some strikes, but if she wanted to get better, and she did, that style will never let her evolve past being a great 9-year-old pitcher. He explained that if she's 12 with that pitching style, then she'll get clobbered. So as frustrated as my daughter was to make the change, I encouraged her to do it. She was putting in the practice, so she may as well be doing it the right way. Do you know what happened in the next game that my daughter pitched? It was her worst outing ever. She was pitching with the right form, but she couldn't throw a strike. She got done with that game and cried, and was really mad at me for messing with her pitching style. And what I explained to her is what I'm explaining to you right now. You can practice the wrong way and still be okay, but you can only reach your full potential by practicing the right way. Yes, it wasn't easy for a 9-year-old to digest this truth. I hope it will be easier for you. If I had let her put the time, effort, and energy into practicing the wrong way, it would have taken even more time to unwind those wrong habits she was forming. Eventually, Bree understood this notion of practicing right, and now she is practicing every day with the right form, and she's getting in the groove of a pitcher who could go on to compete at any level she wants. Remember, too, that the habits that may have helped you achieve something at one point in your life may not help you today. The habits that took you out of Egypt are not the habits that will take you to the promised land. I hope my coaching messes up your current game the way it messed up my daughter's. As you start putting your new success habits to work, you'll see the difference between old and new. At first, these habits may feel uncomfortable, like an awkward golf swing. But the little bit of discomfort that you experience now can result in the rest of your life being filled with abundance, joy, and wealth. And once you're on your way, you'll bring others with you. Malcolm Gladwell wrote the famous line, "You don't master anything without putting 10,000 hours in." This is true mastery. But turn this around and ask, what things have you done wrong for 10 years that you've mastered? Maybe you've mastered making yourself feel insecure or feeling regret or not taking advantage of the opportunities that are in front of you. You've mastered the art of playing it safe, of avoiding trying something new, of telling others what to do, but not listening to their ideas. Whatever limiting habits you've mastered, it's okay. We've all done it, but luckily it won't take you 10 years to make a shift to get rid of them. But it does require action and some grit to go for it. I love Tony Robbins' quote, "People will overestimate what they can do in a year, and underestimate what they can do in 5. I'm not saying it will take 5 years for change, but imagine the change that can happen in your life when you model those who are achieving at the highest levels. Simply put, you need to start adopting the success habits when you wake up tomorrow. At that moment when you roll out of bed and start the day, start implementing habits so the trajectory of your life can shift, even if it's just an inch a day. But inches add up, and as you get further down the road and further away from the things that don't serve you, you draw closer to your purpose and the goals that you desire. Again, this isn't a magic money machine. You can't hit a button and money falls out. But if you apply these success habits, make the shift stick, and then practice them with grit, you will receive the closest thing to a money machine that exists in the world. Remember, when you first shift a habit and the new way of acting seems weird, keep this thought in the back of your head. I'm not doing this to impress my peers. I'm doing this because this is my path. This is my destiny. Be assured, each time when you practice a proven success habit, it will feel less uncomfortable and will eventually become more and more familiar and soon will turn into an unconscious habit. The Better Life Challenge. I know you want more, and you are willing to put in the time to achieve it. The proof of that is right in front of you. You've made it to the last chapter of this book, and if you're persistent about listening to a book until the end, it says a lot about you and your future. You're not the sort to give up. I know I've given you a lot to think about and do, but sometimes all you need is that one thing you got out of a book that makes all the difference. On many occasions in my life, one shift was all I needed to course correct. One slight shift today in direction makes all the difference tomorrow, and a year from now, and 10 years from now. So right now, I want to challenge you to do something that will start that shift in motion and not let you fall back to your old habits and the status quo. I spent many days and nights researching and thinking through the best way to get you started on your new course and how to make it stick. One way is doing a 90-day sprint. It takes away this big, heavy chore of change and chunks it down to a doable goal. But I wanted something even easier to implement that you could do in minutes a day in addition to the 90-day sprint. It would be something that would anchor the shifts you need to make and you would barely notice they were happening. The result is a process you simply can't miss, an added feature of this book that will make what you learned stick and jumpstart you into action. Oh, and yes, I am ethically bribing you to use it as well. Bribes to get you to take action are not beneath me. To help catapult you into your new life, I have created the Better Life 30-Day Challenge at www.thebetterlife.com. I designed a specific quick action for you to do each day for 30 days. In just minutes a day, you will start reprogramming your habits effortlessly. Your mental energy and confidence will grow by leaps and bounds daily. You'll feel empowered, fueled to achieve your 90-day sprint goals and on course towards the life you once thought was unreachable. This challenge is specifically designed to ease you into it and not make you feel like you are making massive changes or sacrifices. Here are some of the quick challenges you will have during the 30 days. Day 5, something kind for a stranger, plus 2 points. Today's challenge is simple. Today I want you to do a kind act for a stranger. Buy lunch for someone randomly, clean out a garage, carry groceries, help the homeless, or simply smile at someone who looks like they need it. Day 15, plus 20 points. We're at the halfway point, the not-to-do list. By doing things we should not be doing, we are robbing ourselves of precious time needed for those projects and efforts that can catapult us to the next level. What are you doing now that should be eliminated? This experience helps cover it. So watch the video above and complete this exercise today. Day 17, plus 10 points. If you had no judgmental thoughts, no money concerns, and no time concerns, what would you do to create income? What is your dream job? What would you love to wake up every morning and do? Day 20, plus 10 points. Today I want you to do something courageous that you've been thinking about doing for years. And the best part about it is you will not only have the ability to transform your life in 30 days, you can challenge friends and family to do it with you and share it on social media, all of which earn you points, and those points can win you incredible gifts, basically huge ethical bribes to get you to take action. If you're ready to stop thinking about a better life and start living it, then go to www.thebetterlife.com and join the challenge today. Now is your time. I know this may seem to be a crazy time to be alive, but in reality, now is the best time in history to put these success habits to work for you. Remember, uncertainty, wars, depressions, oppression, epidemics, and crazy times have been around for thousands of years. But we must remember that those who had the right success habits prospered in every era. Now is the greatest time, because it is the time you are alive and listening to this. You can't postpone putting these habits into action for one more day, one more hour, one more minute. If you say now isn't a good time, then what you are really saying is there will never be a good time. A month can fly by, and so can a year or 10 years. Don't find yourself somewhere in the future trying to discover another book that could save you or take you to that next level. Don't wait 10 years to go to an inspirational live event and try to start fresh at that point. Don't let someone else take your idea in business. Don't let someone else take the job you want. Now is the time, your time. My grandmother's best advice to me, the grandmother who saved me, was don't stress about the things you can't change. I'd fail a test and she'd say, can you retake it? I'd say no. She would then say, then forget about it. Take another one, get a better score, and your grades will average out okay. Don't stress about the things you can't change from your past. Your past is simply research and development and the fuel for the great life ahead of you. Just let most of the past die and only bring along with you the things that serve your bigger future. It's crucial that you focus only on the things you can change and how you can create a better life for yourself now. You have the roadmap to implement strategies and habits that can take you where you desire. Can you implement all of them overnight? Absolutely not, but very quickly you will be astonished by the changes in your life as you make one small shift at a time. Start right now while you have momentum by taking the Better Life Challenge. Turn the wheel of life just an inch today and another tomorrow and watch as your life takes form as the life you always desired. Your journey can begin today on that road to your next level of life with abundance, prosperity, and happiness. This isn't a quick fix, but these are the strategies that have allowed not only me, but the most successful people in the world move to the next level, and now you have them in your hand. You now possess the habits for your success. Dig in, take action, be gritty over gifted, and show the world what you're made of. About Dean. If Dean Graziosi can make it, so can anyone. His story should give people hope as well as realistic expectations that they too can reach their full potential and live their own version of the American dream. Born in a little town in upstate New York, about 70 miles from New York City, Dean was raised in a family with financial hardships. At one point, he even lived in a bathroom with his father. Struggling with minimal money, dealing with his parents' multiple marriages, and adjusting to over 20 moves by the time he was 19, Dean didn't have a chance to attend college, nor did he feel he was smart enough to do so. But after years of ongoing inspirational messages from his grandmother, Carmela Finizi Post, Dean adopted the belief that he could do anything and that there were no limits. She implored him not to stress about the past, but rather invent his own future. Dean took the one asset he did have, determination for a better life, and went on to become an extremely successful entrepreneur, real estate mogul, multiple New York Times best-selling author, success trainer, and world traveler, speaking on stages with up to 15,000 people. He is the author of the best-selling books, Totally Fulfilled, Be a Real Estate Millionaire, 30 Days to Real Estate Cash, Your Town, Your Profits, and Profit from Real Estate Right Now. Dean also has done a weekly wisdom video series on success every Monday for the last 8 years inspiring millions of people around the world. None of this would have happened without Dean's greatest gift, his past. From his dyslexia to his feelings of inferiority to growing up insecure because of financial struggles, Dean developed the unique ability to create easy-to-follow success recipes. It's been Dean's gift to share these techniques that can allow people to live life to their full potential. Dean lives in Phoenix, Arizona with his wife and two children. He coaches Little League, softball, and attends as many of his kids' events as humanly possible. He's also the creator of www.thebetterlife.com, a 30-day challenge that helps people make small shifts in their habits each day so that in 30 days, they can be on a path to wealth, abundance, and the life they deserve. You can call Dean's office at 866-505-4200 to see if you'd qualify to work with one of Dean's high-performance success coaches to keep you accountable for your own transformation. Acknowledgements. I believe that we reach our full potential and that level of life we desire by taking in information and gaining knowledge through experience, failure, and success. We evolve exponentially when we take action in the world, and all that knowledge and information becomes deeply embedded wisdom and gut instinct. At the start of this book, I dedicated it to my dear friends, Tony Robbins, Joe Polish, and Dan Sullivan because of the positive impact and shortcuts to success they have given me. But I also appreciate them for their journey, for their bravery of taking that knowledge and discovering the wisdom behind it all, and then selflessly sharing it with the world. I've learned from great teachers like them, as well as Dale Carnegie, Earl Nightingale, and Napoleon Hill. To that list, I would add Eckhart Tolle, Wayne Dyer, Michael Singer, Brendan Burchard, David Bach. I could add many more names, but there isn't space enough to include all of them. Their transformative words, once digested into your soul, make it difficult to determine where their ideas end and yours start. As I wrote this book, as I wrote certain sections, I asked the question, where did this come from? Did I discover it through my own trial and error, through my failures, through my own success, or did I adopt it from others who'd trod that path before me? And at the end of the day, you realize that's what true deliverers of wisdom want. They're delivering you the roadmap to allow you to go faster once you integrate them into your own life, as I want to do the same for you. I did my absolute best throughout the book to share when I knew for sure where a given piece of wisdom or an exercise came from. I'm sure I missed acknowledging the source of some concepts, so here I'd like everyone who's been a part of mentoring me, from past business partners, authors, friends, to loved ones, to someone on the street who shared a good thought, to know that it's the cumulative effects of all of you that allow us to achieve success faster instead of trying to figure it out more slowly on our own. I also want to acknowledge the people that helped me put this book together. Running multiple companies, trying to be the best dad in the world, doing real estate deals, traveling the country speaking, and doing masterminds while still coaching Little League and softball, time can be in short supply. Without my nephew, Tanner Sheldon, helping me put this book together and coordinating a lot of the pieces, without Bruce Wexler helping me create clarity in each chapter and ensuring that the material flowed together, without my team in Scottsdale, Arizona, and Jeremy Gabbert, who's my right-hand man, I could not have produced a book as good as I believe this to be. To Nick Savakia, my CFO and friend, and all the people who work with me on a daily basis to allow me to shine, to allow me to live in my unique ability, to allow me to practice the success habits that can make me live to my full potential, I give thanks. I could never do it without them. In one of my earlier books, I quoted the phrase, "It takes a village to raise a child." Well, it takes a village and a family to write a successful book and market it, promote it, and get it in the hands of the people who need it the most. Lastly, and most importantly, I acknowledge and appreciate the amazing family I have with my wife, Jonelle, and my daughter, Brianna, and my son, Brody. You are the light of my life. You are the reason I thrive, the reason I love, the reason I always want to evolve, to be a better man. No love could match what a father feels for his children. Thank you for the gift of being my kids.
If you like this book and want an easy way to implement these habits, go to thebetterlife.com right now and take the 30-day challenge.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.